Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, August 13th, 2013, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. We're pleased to welcome back author and intuitive Betsy Lewis to talk about her new book, Mystic Revelations of 13, especially since it's the 13th day of August, 2013. Betsy has correlated the synchronicities of events in history and in the Bible with celestial realms, secret societies, and ETs, but the question is why? What is the connection? She herself has had ET experiences starting at a young age and has made appearances on notable radio shows like The Jerry Pippin Show, Coast to Coast, and The X-Zone. She has authored two other books entitled Angels, Aliens, and Prophecy, plus Alexander Phoenix and the Seven Sacred Virtues. Her website is BetsyLewis.com, and that's spelled BetsyLewis.com. And her books are available on Amazon. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, keeping us up to date on topics of interest to Starseeds and sharing some emails from our listeners. Well, we're in the process of gathering the next soul group to go with us to Arkansas to dig for Atlantean crystals, experience crystal activations, and reconnect with soul family. The date is October 8th through the 14th, and if you have 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Taurus or Scorpio, Aquarius or Leo, Capricorn or Cancer on your natal or progress chart, you have the rites of passage to participate. We're still looking for a few more members of this soul group, so if you feel drawn by this, you can learn more if you send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com. We'd like to thank Chris for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. If you're joining us for the first time, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where you can find a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge, and the entire site has been coded for Starseed activations. We have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or you can download them right from our show page archives. We'll get started in just a few moments, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, wouldn't you like to know when your 10 hours of power will occur? You can request your solar return timing on our site. Please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure you get it in time for your birthday. If you'd like a Stage 2 reading to interpret your solar return energies beyond just knowing when the window is, make sure you book it 2 months before your birthday, as we do have a waiting list. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Evening, Ms. Lavendar here. And Anastasia, I hope you have some really good news for us tonight. Are you there?
Anastasia, you're on mute, are you?
I am so sorry. I'm saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Well, finally, I'm here. I really need to get the new mute button, I think. So, hi, Lavendar, and hi, Ariel, and hello, Starseed listeners. It's great to be with you tonight. And we're going to start off tonight's news by talking about the sun. They say that there is an increasing chance of solar flares. If you'll recall, in our last few broadcasts, we've talked about how the sun has been so quiet. But now two new sunspots are growing rapidly in the sun's southern hemisphere, and one of them, called AR-1817, is directly facing Earth and poses a threat for X-class solar flares. So she's starting to ramp it up there. And the Perseid meteor shower is on the peak tonight, and from there on it's going to be on the wane. According to NASA's Meteoroid Environment Office, they say that the Perseid meteor shower produces more fireballs than any other annual shower. And as I said, it does peak tonight, August 13th, with as many as 120 meteors per hour, and it will be slowly subsiding as the Earth exits the debris stream of parent comet Swift-Tuttle. Now, sky watchers should nevertheless stay alert for meteors tonight between midnight and sunrise, and they say it will take at least several days for the Perseid rate to drop to zero. So we still have a chance to watch if we don't have cloudy skies. So keep your eyes open for that. And I want to talk to you about upcoming Earth asteroid encounters. We've got a couple of close ones coming, everybody. Not going to hit us, of course, but I just want to pass this along. Asteroid 2013 PJ10 is due to fly by here shortly, and that will be half a lunar distance from the Earth. And the next one is scheduled for August 23rd, and that will be 24.7 lunar distances, which is, you know, moderately close. So, anywho, that's what's going on up in the skies. And we are going to talk a little bit about dolphins tonight. You know, they are saying that there is a dolphin death rate up on the northeast that is 7 times higher than normal. They're claiming that bottlenose dolphins are washing up on mid-Atlantic beaches in staggering numbers all during this summer. Now, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has declared it's an unusual mortality event, and researchers do say that the death rate is 7 times higher than normal. And they say that in July, up to July this year, 201 dolphins have been reported stranded. Now, they are claiming that the last time this happened, in the 1980s, I believe it was, dolphins were reported to have some kind of measles or a condition, some kind of a disease. I think it was measles, some kind of that type of bacteria that killed so many. So they don't know right now what it is, but obviously there's something going on with the dolphins up there in the North Atlantic. So anyway, and last week there was a report in mainstream news. I've been reporting on Fukushima for quite a while now, and a lot of that's been off the mainstream radar. But last week, TEPCO, the parent company that operates the power plant there at Fukushima, issued a state of emergency. This made it to mainstream news, and now it's all over the place. It's all over the news in Japan. They are afraid that contaminated water from an overflowing well that's in a nearby trench near the reactor is leaking 3 billion becquerels of into the ground. And they've actually declared a state of emergency. They say the accident isn't over yet. The nuclear disaster is still ongoing. They're in a state of emergency, and everyone is feeling the crisis. They say not much time is left. Now, they say that, and this has been going on since last week, and they actually feel that at least there are 5,000 metric tons in this trench that they're talking about, where this water is leaking into, which equals to 5 million liters and 3 billion, over 3 billion becquerels a liter, comes to 15 trillion becquerels of radioactive substances going into the ocean. So that is a real concern, and nuclear experts are calling on the U.S. government to test West Coast waters and Pacific seafood sold here in the United States in the wake of Japan's alarming admission, open admission, about this radiation leak emergency. And experts are saying that they still don't know how contaminated the water is, and some sampling of the U.S. West Coast waters is necessary. And they need to make, they said they need to make the samplings public knowledge as well as sample the fish. Now, they say that the bioaccumulation effect of strontium-90 could be devastating for pregnant women who eat fish food fish or drink water that's been contaminated. And so they want the FDA and the EPA to step it up and begin to monitor food on the West Coast. So there it is, and it has actually made mainstream news because it is a crisis they just can't avert. This has been ongoing for so long, and were the media in the country doing its job, we would have all been knowing about that all along. And now they can't hide it because it's really a catastrophe. Well, you know, we've been talking about sinkholes, and, you know, if you're planning on going to Florida, to Disney World or the Disney area to have a nice little vacation, maybe you heard about this sinkhole, but there was a massive sinkhole down there that caused a resort villa to partially collapse. It was in Claremont, Florida, and they say that a sinkhole caused a section of this resort villa, which was connected to the Disney attractions, to partially collapse yesterday, while another section of the villa was sinking. Now, this sinkhole comes 5 months after that one happened in Florida where that man fell in the hole. Maybe you remember me talking about that.
Right.
And, you know, they lost him to that. He was gone. But Monday's sinkhole is, they say it's in the middle of the villa, and it's about 40 to 50 feet in diameter. Now they said that authorities think it's getting deeper, but they can't tell if it's growing outward, if it's expanding any. They just know it's getting deeper. Isn't that wild? And in a related vein, and it might be related, but there are some researchers who are claiming now that the Greenland ice sheet is melting, but that much of the heating is coming from inside the Earth. They say that the ice pack in Greenland is melting because of heat from the Earth's mantle. And this is a group of international researchers that claim that they are the first to find a connection between the melting of the Greenland ice sheet and the high heat flow from the Earth's mantle. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with sinkholes, but I thought that was an interesting news piece. That came out of the Daily Mail, by the way, out of the UK. And I had a very interesting story report from Tammy. Tammy, thank you for sending this to me. This is from Tammy in NBC News. It was a video that I listened to, and then I distilled the information to pass along to our listeners. Smartphones actually threaten privacy and security when you use them to take photos and then post those photographs online. Did either one of you know that, Ariel Lavendar? Did you know anything about this? Did you see this NBC News piece?
I saw something similar to that. I think it was not exactly that, but yes.
They may be posting it on multiple networks. Well, it's pretty astonishing.
With the meta information?
Yes, you know, not all of us are computer savvy. Most people aren't, and they just assume and take a picture and upload it to Facebook or to Photo Bucket or whatever, and not think twice about it. But what happens is, if you upload a photo that's taken from your cell phone or any one of your online things, I guess it might include tablets. I'm not sure. They didn't mention that. But your Blackberries and your iPhones and all of that. Well, anyone that right-clicks on that photo and then selects the data file option, the geolocation device in the camera, that high-tech tracking on your telephone, maps the locations where the photo was taken and more. According to this NBC News report, they took a picture of a child in this experiment, uploaded, and then had experts look at it and reveal that not only was the child's bedroom identified, you know, where the bedroom of this child, where the child lived, identified, but the playground, where they went to school, map of the surrounding area, and then if you post corresponding photos of your family on the internet, they're all interlinked, and so a clever person can really violate your privacy and find out all kinds of things about you, and particularly we're concerned about children. And so they say that there is a way to eliminate that. What you have to do on your phone is to put all your online settings to private, and you turn off your settings under location services. Those of you who know how to turn on the settings on your cell phones and your devices, you just go to settings, turn off the settings under location services. And I guess there is also an option to turn off the location settings just for the camera alone so that you don't turn off your GPS application. But I, not having a cell phone, am not familiar with that. but I think there are plenty of listeners that do have one. So please be advised of that for security and privacy reasons. Be careful about uploading photographs from your cell phone. Okay. Well, you know, we're all conscious about what we eat because we are trying to keep our frequencies high, and I think that this is probably preaching to the choir, but nevertheless, I want to tell Starseed listeners that the Center for Science and the Public Interest is urging caution in the use of the artificial sweetener Splenda, and this comes from NSN, and they have downgraded their rating for sucralose, which is also known as Splenda, from safe to caution in its chemical guide to food additives, in their chemical guide to food additives. Now, this comes from the Washington-based Center for Science and the Public Interest, and they said that they have long rated sucralose as safe, but they're now categorizing it as a caution pending a peer review of an unpublished study by an independent Italian lab that found that this sweetener causes leukemia in mice. And so previously, this is very interesting, folks, previously the only long-term animal feeding studies were done by guess who? Sucralose's manufacturers.
Of course.
Of course. Other artificial sweeteners such as saccharin, aspartame, and potassium, it's no wonder I didn't become a chemist, have received the center's lowest rating, which is avoid. Stay away from it, they say. Now, Rebiana, which is a natural high-potency sweetener obtained from the plant stevia, well, that's considered safe by this group, although it says the sweetener needs better testing. And recently, you all, I've started using monk fruit to sweeten things, and it's really fabulous. Have you two ever heard of that?
No,
monk
I haven't.
M-O-N-K? Well, it is very sweet and has no aftertaste. So those of you out there interested in a good alternative sweetener without aftertaste, you ought to try some monk fruit. It's pure monk fruit. That's what it is. That's all it is. Nothing else added. Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And it's tasty. And so far, no ill word about monk fruit. Okay. Well, tonight's story, I'm going to conclude our news by a wonderful story. This is really good news, Lavendar. I hope you're listening there. There was a billionaire who gave away most of his money, and we've never even heard of him. And this story comes out of the Good News Network. It's a great story. They say that an Irish-American billionaire who kept his philanthropy secret for 15 years has given away $7.5 billion and plans for all of it to go to charity before he dies, whatever he's got left. He's 82 years old. His name is Chuck Feeney. They say he wears a $15 Casio watch. He travels coach. He doesn't own a car. He considers himself to be a shabby dresser, and he made his children work their way through college. And he says, "I believe strongly in giving while living. I see little reason to delay giving when so much good can be achieved through supporting worthwhile causes." They say he has given away 99% of his fortune to health, science, and education and civil rights causes all around the world. And he developed or instituted the Atlantic Philanthropies Foundation. Now, they say this man was born during the Great Depression. He came from a modest background of blue-collar Irish-American parents. And he says he was an entrepreneur from an early age. And his most successful endeavor was the one that earned him all the money. He's now giving away something called duty-free shopping. So, anywho, this man is an amazing person. They say that some of his biggest contributions went to rebuilding Vietnam's healthcare infrastructure after the Vietnam War, building the Republic of Ireland's university system, and biomedical research. And he wrote a biography called The Billionaire Who Wasn't, How Chuck Feeney Made and Gave Away a Fortune Without Anyone Knowing.
Wow.
So he said, "I had one idea that never changed in my mind my whole life, that you should use your wealth to help people." Isn't that great? You know, we all like to think we do that, but that's not so easily done. I've known people that have said that, have come into a great deal of money and then blithely went their way and kind of forgot all of that. But here's somebody who kept that soul commitment. And you know, you just have to feel that this was his life mission. He incarnated. He kept his promise to himself. He's a promise keeper. and he succeeded in his purpose. And I just think that's great.
Absolutely.
So, very inspiring. So you see, there are wonderful people out there. And we've got wonderful listeners, the best on the planet. I love our Starseed listeners.
Right.
And so that's it for tonight's news. I'm going to turn it back over to you girls.
Anastasia, this is Lavendar.
Yes.
Did you hear about the automobile accident that I can't remember where it was, but this girl, they couldn't get her out of the car, and they tried with all kinds of equipment to get her out, and all of a sudden a priest shows up in black with a white collar with a little flask of holy water. He reaches in and puts it on her, and then they finally get the equipment to get her out. And when they were taking pictures of all this, no one captured the priest on film, and no one saw where he went. He
appeared, that gives me...
disappeared.
Oh, wow.
That was on the evening. That was on NBC Nightly News last week.
I did not see that, did not know about that. Does that give you goosebumps or what?
Yeah, how about that? The other thing I wanted to say
was
the anniversary of the atomic bomb, two atomic bombs in Japan, happened on the leaking of that water that you're talking about happened on the anniversary of those two bombs being dropped years
ago. Oh, you know, that's just all about energy. That's
strong
energy. It just recycled.
Yep. Yeah,
you know,
that's all I had to say.
Well, that's outstanding, Lavendar. That's fascinating stuff. Well, okay, that'll do it for me, and I'm going to let you guys take it away, as Lavendar says. Take it away.
Thank you so much, Anastasia.
You're welcome.
With Starseed News for this evening. We're going to be introducing Betsy Lewis in just a moment, but I wanted to take only a brief second here to thank everybody for tuning in last week. We had, if you haven't heard the show, you really need to hear it. We had Craig Campobasso on, and he is producing a film called Stranger at the Pentagon. And so many people were impressed with Craig and his work that they have made donations to help support the production, post-production procedures on this film. And we just want to thank you so much, Starseed listeners, because I think it's wonderful that this is a movie that will really empower the whole Starseed movement, and it's just wonderful that Starseeds have really gotten behind him like that. So if you haven't heard last week's show, do yourself a favor and go into the archives and look it up. It is Craig Campobasso. And you can go to his website, strangeratthepentagon.com, and learn more about it. So now we are going to introduce our guest for this evening. Let me get your mic open here. Hello, Betsy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Great to be on your show.
Good to have you back.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I was listening to all your incredible news, and I've got a lot of that on my Earth News One blog. And you were talking about that angel priest, and what a story. That was in Missouri. And it is just incredible, isn't it? All these things going on, the sun, it's like we're in the twilight zone, isn't it?
Right. The best of times and the worst of times kind of.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. And I've had people tell me, I think I'm in the twilight zone.
Mm-hmm.
People do feel that way.
I know. It's just incredible things.
It's not a boring time.
No, not at all.
So Lavendar is going to kick it off for us this evening here, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Lavendar.
Okay. Well, Betsy, I'm so glad that you've joined us again, and I'm very intrigued by this this new book that you've written called The Mystic Revelations of 13. And, of course, we're talking today on August 13th, 2013, so isn't that kind of a kickoff for this show? So
right.
Why don't you just start by telling us first how you came about tracking this. I think you first mentioned Pythagoras and how he believed in the power of mystical powers.
Well, I've always been into numerology, and I started reading about Plato, who is a Greek philosopher, and Socrates, they all believed numbers, including Pythagoras, who lived 580 to 500 BCE, said that numbers rule all things. He believed that they had souls and held magical powers. And I think 13 is one of those numbers. There's just been so many things that have happened with the number 13, and including our Pope, which is just amazing, the things that are related to 13 and his background. It's just, you know, beyond coincidence. And I think when things keep happening like that, you know, the numbers are just astronomical. You know, it's beyond coincidence. And, you know, I think many of these events go back to the Fatima, Portugal event of 1917 with the three children that were given, you know, warnings and visions of a future, an event that was going to happen. And I believe that event has to do with our son. And there's just so many things pointing to that. And, of course, you've probably heard the news that NASA on... It was just on the 7th that they announced that the sun is going to flip its poles, its magnetic poles. Now, that's not unusual. It does happen every 11 years. But they're saying this time that they think that this change is going to have a ripple effect through the whole entire solar system, which is just incredible. And I thought, well, that's interesting. They're saying it's going to happen within 3 to 4 months, which would probably put it around October. Now, that was the last event for the three children of Fatima when they were given a vision. 70 to 80,000 people were gathered that day to see what looked like the sun fall out of the sky. And fall on its axis and do all these weird things. Of course, everybody described it as a clear disc. It looked like dull silver. It made abrupt movements. It was throwing out rays of light. It had been raining all day long when this happened at solar noon. And these events that started on May 13th of 1917 for 6 consecutive months, always on the 13th at solar noon, you know, there was just incredible things. The children, of course, were the only ones that could see the who they thought was the Blessed Virgin Mary. But she always had these incredible events and miracles that she performed. But it seems like this event is telling us that something is going to happen with our sun and all these coincidences. And today you're talking about the sun, which they're saying an X-class flare. And if you think back on May 13th of this year, we had 4 major X-class flares within 24 hours. And that was the date the children first had the visitation of the apparition, and or the celestial being, maybe a time traveler or an alien. You know, who knows what this person was? But she knew the future. She foretold several things that happened, which are really uncanny. Isn't that incredible?
Wow. And I think that on March 13th of 1997, when the Phoenix Light massive UFO flyby happened, that was another 13th.
And then on
August 13th of 2001, one of the largest United Kingdom crop circles appeared, containing 409 swirling circles.
And that equals 13.
But it equals 13. I know.
That's
it just
right.
Keeps going on and on, doesn't it?
It does. You know, and the thing about the event for March 13th, 1997, thousands of people in northern Arizona in Phoenix were outside waiting for Hellbop. You know, they wanted to see the comet go across. So all these people were outside looking up at the stars, and this event happened, which, you know, I don't think was a coincidence. and they saw a massive UFO. There was many, many descriptions of it, but so many people felt a sense of love and connectedness to family and the world. And, of course, the military saying, well, it's flares. You know, how can you feel that with flares? There's just no way that you're going to feel that way.
Right.
And, of course, I think Phoenix was also picked because Phoenix was named after the mythical bird, the phoenix, which goes back, you know, just about every culture around the world has had a phoenix. And the phoenix represents life and death and also the sun, which I think that was just another message. We're being warned over and over about this 13. And, of course, this year is 2013. And like I said, many things happening, you know, with the sun and, of course, with this Pope. I think we're being told, you know, that something with 13, with this Pope, it's just crazy. Pope Francis, he was elected on March 13th of this year. And that total number, if you add up those numbers, equals 13. He picked the name Francis, which is for the Italian saint. He's a 13th century saint. And Pope Francis is 76 years old. He's 13. That equals a 13 again. He was ordained to the priesthood on December 13th of 1969. He also has this motto, which goes back to Bede's homily of Matthew 9:9-13, which is another 13. So he should be called Pope 13. And I think it all has to do with the Children's Fantoma event. I think that's all, you know, going back to that event. And we're just being warned over and over about this event.
Yeah, I think that you're really onto something there.
I think so, too.
In our astrology that we use, galactic astrology, one of the things that I've been tracking for some time is the number 13 in a chart. And I look at it as the mark of the avatar. It's called the avatar. We've had lots of avatars come to the planet throughout, you know, thousands and thousands of years. And sometimes when I'm tracking a person's soul records and I see so many 13s show up in their chart, it gives me the tracking device to find that they were probably connected to the avatar message of that time that they lived.
Wow.
I've been looking at that. I haven't published that yet. In fact, this is the first time on the show that I've even mentioned it.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Talking about 13, I guess it's probably time to bring it up.
Wow. Well, you know, another thing which is really interesting about the three children that had seen the apparition, that were given all these messages about the five scourges on Earth. But what was interesting is the Lady of Fantoma, they called her the Lady, she had predicted that the two younger children, Jacinta and Francisco, would die young, and that Lucia, the eldest, would live. You know, she had a destiny. And it's interesting, they both died from the Spanish flu that was raging during that time. Francisco died in 1919, excuse me, and Jacinta in 1920. And what's interesting is Lucia, who became a Carmelite nun, died on February 13, 2005. Is that weird?
That's pretty weird. Well, what do you think about the whole thing about Friday the 13th? What do you attribute that to?
Well, supposedly that was the day Jesus died on the cross, and of course that would make it unlucky. So people feel that Friday the 13th is an unlucky number, but 13 is a number that's central to sacred geometry. It's reflected in everything in nature, in man, in the heavens. For example, there's 13 major joints in the body. There's 13 lunar cycles in a solar system, in our solar year anyway, and the moon travels 13 degrees across the sky every day. And I could go on and on. The Mayans, their end of their calendar was 13th Baktun, and there's just so much. It symbolizes cleansing, purity, suffering, death, the evolution of the soul, and decoding of human consciousness. And also it's related to the Illuminati, which is kind of interesting. So I think there's kind of this yin-yang about the number. And, you know, it's interesting that supposedly they use numerology too. They have used the number 11, 22, 29, and 13. And if you look on the back of a dollar bill, have you ever looked at the back of a dollar bill?
Yeah.
Well, there's 13 everywhere on there. For the 13 original colonies, there's 13 leaves on the left olive branch. There's 13 berries. There's 13 stripes on the middle shield, 13 arrows on the right, 13 stars above the eagle's head, 13 letters in E Pluribus Unum, Latin, and 13 letters in Anuit Septus. And there's 13 blocks on the pyramid. And that, according to some authors, they believe that represents the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati.
So can you tell us a little bit more about what you think the Illuminati's up to with this number 13?
Well, you know, again, I believe 13 is a power number. They use that number. There's been some very strange things that have happened. Of course, you know, the beginning of the year started with some very unusual things, and of course, just before the beginning of the year, on 12/14, we had the Sandy Hook event, and that equaled 13. And then we had Hurricane Sandy. We've just had a lot of weird things. Of course, that I don't know. There's just so many things about 13. I think equals power and number, and they are totally into power, the Illuminati, and they have been for ages. And I know a lot of people believe, well, they don't exist, but I do believe they do. There's too much evidence that there's very strange things going on, and I think they feel that something is going to happen. They're preparing. We keep hearing about these bunkers being built all over the United States under the Denver airport. There's a lot of weird things about that, and I know former Governor Jesse Ventura has investigated the Ozarks and has found some very strange things going on there, and major building, underground building. So what are they doing? What are they preparing for? And, of course, last year there was all this construction underneath the White House. I don't know if you recall that or not, but it was all kind of top secret. They wouldn't say what they were working on.
Well, wasn't that when Cheney was in his – there was a lot of construction happening underneath Cheney's place where he lived at the time. I remembered people were talking about there were rumbles under the ground and no telling what he was up to.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, if we do have all these earth changes up, they can go ahead and get in their little bunkers because I want to be on top. You know, if there's going to be some major catastrophe, I'm going to ride it out on top. I'm not getting underneath here.
Yeah. Now, you've written another book called Angels, Aliens, and Prophecy 2. I know
right.
that you were on here before. That you had the first book, but now you have the second book.
Right,
and I'd
right.
like to talk a little bit about something that you mentioned that happened. Let me find my papers. I had it here just a minute ago. Oh, dear. It had to do with Death Valley, I believe.
Ah, yes.
Can
very
you tell
strange.
Us a little bit about what happened at Death Valley and how
well,
it relates to Area 51?
Well, there's just been a lot of strange things that were discovered during the turn of the century, the late 1800s and into the 1900s. There's many stories that were published in newspapers about prospector and also some other people that were investigating Death Valley, they found caverns, and supposedly they found skeletons of 9-foot aliens or humanoids. They also found advanced tools, weaponry. They found extinct animals, supposedly dinosaurs. And there was one character during the early 1900s who they called Scotty, and he would disappear for a few days in the into the Death Valley area, and he'd come back with gold. And nobody knew where he was getting this gold, which is kind of interesting. And the area that he was finding this, supposedly, is very close to Area 51. So, you know, Area 51, you can't get too close to Area 51. I've been in that area. And, you know, they have their cami dudes, as they call them, the guys that parole, they go up and down the area on this dirt road, and if you get too close, they will confiscate your videos, your cameras, your car. So you stay away from that area. But suppose they found that gold. Suppose they found some kind of evidence of some major alien, you know, civilization that was underground there. They're supposed to be just advanced caverns underneath that area. So it makes me wonder, you know, what was really there. But yeah, there's just some amazing things that were found there.
Yes. Also, you talk about some atomic and nuclear weaponry that might have been used thousands of years ago from sheets of green glass found worldwide. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yes. it's called green glass, and it's been found around the world, which is really interesting. Just about every desert, the Gobi Desert, it's been found in the Mojave Desert of Southern California, Arizona, Colorado, Africa, Egypt, and even the ancient site of Babylon. And what's interesting about this green glass, it's like sheets of it, and it's not found anywhere else in the world. But what scientists disturbs, well, what really baffles scientists is that after the atomic bomb was first detonated in New Mexico in 1945, this green glass appeared. It created fused green glass from the temperatures that reached several million degrees. And this green glass is found all over the world. It's interesting, there are no volcanoes to explain it. There are there's nothing to explain, not even meteor, any sign that a meteor could have caused it, you know, from the heat. So what created that? And some of these layers that they have found, archaeologists were digging in the Euphrates Valley and uncovered layers of this green glass that dates back 10,000 years old or older. So, you know, there's evidence that we've had ancient aliens or extraterrestrials visiting us thousands of years ago. They've been here. There's evidence in Sanskrit texts. There's evidence in the Bible with Ezekiel and perhaps even the story of Lot and how Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And there's stories in, in Egyptian hieroglyphs that talk about a pharaoh that had a UFO encounter. So we've been visited. And I think all the stone structures around the world, isn't it interesting? All around the world, these massive stone structures that we can't explain or even duplicate, you know, they are here. They're evidence that there was some kind of advanced technology at work. who were these people? Were they getting help from extraterrestrials? So, you know, there's just so much baffling things out there, isn't there?
Yes, and I noticed that in this book, the Angel Alien Prophecy 2 book, that you go into greater detail about your work with Anne Druffel, who was a UFO investigator.
Right.
Can you tell us, can you kind of bring us up to date more about what has happened with that information with Anne Druffel?
Well, I had a regression with her about my parents' UFO encounter in 1950 on a lonely road in northwestern Idaho, and that was the beginning. I was only 8 months old at the time, and my parents were driving from Idaho, northern Idaho, to southern Idaho, and along the way, in an area called New Meadows, they had a very strange encounter. What they felt, they felt the car shake out of the clear blue. They hadn't seen a car for miles, but out of the clear blue, they heard this horrendous noise that shook the car so violently they thought a plane was going to crash on them. And that was the story they had always told me through the years. Of course, I didn't recall it. I was just a baby. But in 1982, my uncle asked me if they had told me the story, and I said, sure, they've told me the story. And he says, but did they tell you they couldn't account for 2 hours? They lost 2 hours in time. They couldn't account for it. And I went, what? No, they didn't tell me about that. And he said, well, I remember clearly, he said, your father always knew what time they would arrive in Twin Falls from Moscow, Idaho, where they were attending the university, and they were 2 hours late. And, of course, my grandparents and my uncle, they all thought that they were in a car accident. So that began me wondering. I began wondering what in the world, you know, is behind all this? Is what happened? Were we abducted? Because so many stories of people losing time, it's about their abduction. They were abducted by gray aliens. And I thought, well, I need to contact someone and be regressed. And my mother agreed to it, too. So I began making phone calls, and I contacted Bud Hopkins, who is well known for his regressions with abductees. And he passed away a few years ago. He was in New York, and he suggested that I contact MUFON, which is Mutual UFO Network in Los Angeles. That's where we lived at the time. And I ended up getting a call from Anne Druffel, who is well known for her investigation into alien abductions in Southern California. She has a well-known book called The Tujunga Canyon Contacts. And she did the first regression on my mother, and I wasn't able to hear it. She didn't want me to be influenced by what she said. And my mother clearly said that there was something up in the sky. She wasn't sure what it was, but she was frightened, and she kept telling my father not to roll down the window, that there was something out there. Excuse me. And it just got worse. You know, she was in a panic mode. You could hear it in her voice when I actually listened to the tapes later on. And then I was regressed a few months later. Excuse me, let me get a little drink of water here. Okay, that's better. But anyway, it was 1983 that I was regressed by Anne, and I felt that I was abducted. My family, my parents were abducted. We were taken aboard a UFO with gray beings, and we were examined. And I remember seeing my mother in some kind of tube that she was calling out to me. and my father was in another area in a strange kind of chair. The chair was like a hand. It kind of gripped him, and he was just staring off into space. And these gray aliens were working around me, and I remember that there was a strange kind of light, kind of a triangle-shaped light that went over me. I recall that there was something injected into the back of my neck, and it's really strange that I used to have a birthmark on the back of my neck, and I had it removed, and the doctor said that he'd never seen a birthmark like that because it was so hard. And, you know, I kind of wonder if it wasn't an implant. And it's really strange that I talked to someone else that felt they were abducted, and I've never heard of anybody saying that they had something injected into the back of their neck, but he was telling me he had the same thing happen. So, you know, there's just too many things. And my mother and I both had many of the characteristics of being abducted. The classic nosebleeds. I had nosebleeds all the time. Dreams of flying, feeling paralyzed, the scoop-shaped scars, missing time constantly, affecting electronic equipment. I can walk into a store and like a whole row of lights go out by themselves. I've had insomnia. I have this phobia of not, you know, having something, wearing something at night. And so an increased psychic ability. Shortly after my second UFO event, I began having dreams, vivid, vivid dreams, recurring dreams of major earth events, earthquakes. There were winds, hurricane winds in my dream. There were huge waves, like I just felt that, you know, our earth is going to go through that. I've always felt that. And throughout the years, I've had many, many warnings that have come true with Mount St. Helens when it blew, and earthquakes before they happen. Sometimes I get dizzy. Sometimes I dream about them. But I feel I'm always warned about major events. And I'm thankful I do.
Yes, well, I know that they probably have you on a what we call a time-release capsule, that they probably release information into your system a little at a time. Have you found that to be true?
I have. I keep finding things that, you know, are opening up to me, and I think all this information about 13, it just started coming to me. It was just amazing how it just started pouring in, and the more I investigated, the more things I started putting together, you know, that maybe all these events are really related. They sound like they might not be, but I think they are. I truly think they are. And I think with the crop circle, you were just talking about that major crop circle on August 13th, 2001, which all those 409 individual circles. It was one of the largest UK crop circle formations in recorded history. And they said if hoaxers would have had to make one circle every 30 seconds during nighttime hours to create that design. So, you know, there's just something going on, like I said, with 13. And I think we're being warned. I've always felt that, you know, something's going to happen with the sun. And I know I'm not alone. You know, NASA keeps hinting that, you know, something's going to happen, even though the sun's been relatively quiet right now. And I was listening to Coast to Coast last night, and there was a doctor on there talking about the sun and how quiet it has been. But he said that one of the biggest solar flares in 1858, it was a quiet time, and suddenly the sun just went crazy. So he said that he thinks with this magnetic pole flip that, you know, with the sun doing such weird things right now, that it could be a, a double shift. And, you know, it's just not sure what it wants to do right now. But if we're looking at an event around October, which I'm beginning to think it might be because of what the children were told, And we're still not sure, you know, because the Vatican has never released that information. They haven't told us all the scourges that were predicted. And Lucia wanted to tell the world in 1961, and she was prevented from telling the world. So what are they hiding? What do they know? And is that doesn't have anything to do with these bunkers that are being built all over the world? I think so.
Yeah.
What
do you
think?
I also noticed that you've written a children's story called Rainbow Eyes. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Yes. It's about a little girl that was born blind. She's a Native American girl that lived hundreds of years ago, and she grew up with her grandmother, who's a medicine woman, that taught her how to trust her intuition. And I wrote that because I think it's so important right now that we trust our intuition with all the things that are going on in the world, and that's something we've forgotten how to do. We live in such a materialistic world, and we forget that there is another world out there, and we have to trust our intuition. But she is warned by the animals. She learns to trust what the animals say. She is kind of an outcast with her tribe because they don't understand her gift, her special gift. And one day she saves her tribe because of her intuition, and she becomes a heroine. So it teaches children to trust their intuition. And I think, you know, children, the new children coming in right now are so intuitive. They are so amazing and have so many gifts. And I think it's important that they learn to trust their sixth sense, their psychic sense. Because we've got a lot of Earth changes coming up.
Do you have any new information about the alien-human hybrid children?
Ah, well, I think that's going on. I think it's been going on for a long time. Many, many abductees have been told that the human beings are going to destroy themselves, so they're creating a new being. And the way we're going, you know, you're talking about Fukushima today and what's going on. We've got fracking going on. We've destroyed the Gulf pretty much, and we still haven't heard the truth about the Gulf, the whole truth. And, you know, all the millions of fish and animals that have died and are still dying down there, the dispersants that they put on the oil. And, you know, it's going to take who knows how long, you know, 100 years, maybe more. And, you know, think about the plastics that are in our oceans. Our oceans are dying, and we've got tons of that from not Fukushima, but from the Japanese earthquake that happened, and all the plastic that's in the ocean right now. They say there's just tons of it, and a lot of it has been hitting the West Coast. So, you know, we have forgotten how to honor the earth, and, you know, that's something that we have to awaken to. You know, we just can't continue this. We're exploiting and destroying our natural resources, and if we don't go back to the indigenous ways, you know, I don't know where we're headed. You know, we've just got to awaken. I know there are many, many people, like the people that listen to your show, are very awakened, and that's wonderful. But we've all got to come together, and we've got to realize that, you know, our Earth, there's no other Earth out there. This Earth is unique. It's you know, there's no other planet. We can't go to Mars. We can't go to the moon. Not yet, anyway, but we've got to take care of this planet because there's 7 billion people out there, and, you know, we just can't keep using up our resources, can we? I mean, it's just insanity out there.
Yes, I know, and of course, Monsanto is not helping things. In fact, I heard the other day that Monsanto had bought Blackwater, the group that our contractors, you know, the mercenaries, and that they've hired, I don't know, thousands and thousands of agents to infiltrate the environmental and the metaphysical groups to try to stop what's happening. in the movement against Monsanto. Had you heard about that?
Yes, and I think it's wonderful. You know, people are getting active. You know, we've got to get out there. We've got to start speaking up. We've got to start, you know, just come together and stop these things. We can do it.
Yeah.
You know, we have the power, and we've forgotten how powerful we really are.
But, you know, just to think that Monsanto and Blackwater are in the same sentence is creepy.
It is creepy. You're right. You're right. Absolutely.
But, you know,
we have
millions of walk-ins now on the planet. We've got so many starseed walk-ins, light workers,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
they're on it. And
they are.
Just have to
they
know
are.
And believe that because, and it may not look that way looking at the news every day,
mm-hmm.
but we have people that are positioned in places that are secret, and one day those people will rise up. And we
yes,
may not know all of their names and what they do, mm-hmm. but when the changes come, it will be because of these enlightened beings on the planet. That's for sure. So at this time, Betsy, I'd like to say thank you so much for talking to me at this time, and I'm now going to turn it over to Ariel, and she has the switchboard. So back to you, Ariel. Thank you, Betsy.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I was going to pick up on that thought when you were just speaking about the Monsanto, all of the people that are getting stronger and seem to be getting stronger in their offensive. But why are they doing that? Because they see that the starseed people, the light workers, the walk-ins, all of these people that are waking up are really tilting the balance to the positive side, to the side of light and ascension and higher consciousness. And
mm-hmm.
and if we weren't doing that, then all of these escalations wouldn't be happening. So in a way,
right.
you know, the more they kick and scream, it's because the more they feel threatened, their positions of power feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
By people who know the truth, and
right.
so I find that very encouraging, and certainly I believe with all my heart that we may have done some damage to the planet, but we will not be allowed to destroy the planet. No one will be allowed to do that.
I believe that too.
There are so many. Loving, benevolent races
mm-hmm.
that live off the planet that are aware of what's going on, and when it gets to a certain point, it's like, okay, that's enough. You know, it's like you let the kids,
right.
and they're running through the house, and they're getting a little rambunctious, and they get to a certain point where it's like the parents say, okay, that's enough. Everybody go chill out, you know, quiet time. And
right.
kind of how I see the whole big picture.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to comment on, and I'm sure that you have this in your book about the 13s, especially about Friday the 13th,
mm-hmm.
was that I believe historically when the Catholic Church wanted to get rid of the Templars because they were getting too much power, that
right.
the order went out. People got into position like men on the chessboard, and that on the 13th, on Friday, the 13th of whatever month and year that was, is when they would move on the Templars. So another reason that Friday
right.
the 13th is considered bad luck, although I've always had really good luck on the 13th.
Have you? See,
yeah.
it's an opposite number. I mean, it couldn't be good luck because look at Apollo 13. The astronauts could have died out there. But what's interesting is about Apollo 13 is that people around the world came together and prayed. And I think prayer is so important. I think we've forgotten about prayer. But I think their prayers brought them back safely. And that's something we have to go back to. It's so important that we pray. And miracles happen when people pray. It's just like the story with the girl that could have died, but the priest showed up, and I guess before that happened, everybody she asked them to pray for, and everybody there prayed. They held hands and prayed, and here was this priest, this angel priest that showed up. Isn't that amazing what we can do?
Oh, and it's so true. When people lay down their stresses, their differences, and come together with a single purpose,
mm-hmm.
there. I mean, that is the stuff that miracles are made of.
Right, right.
And you expand that across the planet when
mm-hmm.
people lay aside their differences and join together in support of a situation or an event or another person or people, other people that are in trouble. It just, it brings tears to my eyes every time.
Right.
Because
right.
it is evidence and proof that there is power in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. You're so right. You know, I believe that there are celestial beings out there that are helping us right now and guiding us. And it's interesting. I heard someone say, well, what have the aliens done for us, and what are they doing to help us? And it's funny, I put that out one night before I went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard this message that, you know, when that huge meteor came across the sky in February and did all that damage in Russia, and we've had a lot of near misses with asteroids, and they have prevented those asteroids from hitting the Earth. They have prevented that big meteor that almost hit Russia. They did something with that. So I was told that message, and it was so clear when I woke up. I just woke up in the middle of the night and heard that message. Yes, we have.
That's right.
So we are getting that help.
And a lot of it goes unnoticed because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't take out ads on TV.
Right.
Say, hey, look what we
right.
did to you.
Right.
As you said earlier, this planet is a gem. It is a paradise,
mm-hmm.
and it
mm-hmm.
is revered by races from many, many different places and planets light years away, and they all have a vested interest in this planet, and
right.
the planet will be protected. They won't allow us
mm-hmm.
to blow it up. They, you
no.
know, we've beaten it up a little bit, and but it won't be allowed to go to the point of no return.
I think you're so right, and you know, I think if something happens to our planet, it happens to the whole universe. I think everything affects everything else. We are all connected, and you know our vibrations. We in consciousness, we are all related. Everything has a consciousness, and we forget that everything is alive. And I'm working on a new book, which I hope to have out in the end of October or November, called Earth Energy. But it's about the time that I've spent with Native Americans throughout the Northwest and the Southwest and even in Belize, and the things that I've learned about honoring Earth and their ceremonies, and it's just beautiful. So, you know, I feel that we have to go back to that. You know, we have to get away from all these electronics that we're involved in. We've just forgotten how to connect with Mother Nature, Mother Earth, and that she's so alive. Everything is alive, you know, the water, everything. And, you know, and I've seen that with everything. I grew up in a rural area, and I spent a lot of time with my parents in nature and camping, and my father was doing a lot of mining in northern Nevada. And I'll tell you, you know, being a small child, I was out there playing with frogs and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just watching Mother Nature. I just honor everything that's out there. And, you know, when I see what we do to our animals out there, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm talking about the others out there, the way they're treated and, you know, our cattle, everything, if we honored it, if we prayed over them before we kill them, you know, if we do eat meat. And there's just so much we have to get back to and learn again, relearn.
Right, right. Well, I was just, was there something I was watching on TV, or was a video about the, you know, the Earth's frequency has been between 6 and 8 hertz. It's rising. It's probably going to go, you know, beyond
right.
8 hertz. But the human brain waves are in that same range. Our entire, you know, frequency is the exact same as the Earth. And so as the Earth changes, we have to change to stay in tune with it. And and that connection is undeniable, and it's indelible.
Right.
It will always
right.
be there. So if you are disconnected from the Earth, in a way, you're disconnected from yourself.
Right. You know, and I think that's what's going on with the Earth. The Earth has a karma, just like we all do, and it's going through its own evolutionary upgrades. And with this vibration, this increased vibration, that's what's causing the sinkholes. It's, you know, they're saying it's within the core of the Earth. And I know you're talking about the Schumann resonance that's increasing, and they're saying it's going to go up to 13 hertz. I think it fluctuates quite a bit, but I think the sun has a lot to do with that too. And of course, the sun is light, and light is knowledge. So we are getting ready for some major transformations that are going to happen to our planet and to us, I believe.
Well, sure. It's like an expectant mother in labor. You know, it is some, you know, some of the worst agony that you'll ever bear, but it is in preparation for a miracle,
right?
Of joy and love, and that's so we are, you know, we're in labor right now.
Mm-hmm.
All different levels. And the time of, you know, the age of Aquarius, which has just started, this is just part of the transition. So whatever happens, I think if we keep our own vibrations high enough, we keep enough unconditional love and connection to the Earth, keep it alive in our daily lives, then we'll all be fine. And people who can't do that, yeah, people who can't who refuse to let go of the power and the greed and the aggression and the deception and all of that, those are people who will have to go live somewhere else, because they won't be part of this world, you know. So
right.
it's like you either, you know, jump on and grow, or go away.
That's right.
So
that's
we
right.
We have some callers on the switchboard here with comments and questions for you. So,
awesome.
Ready to
this, I am.
Good. Okay. We are going to first be talking to our friend Ralph. Hello, Ralph. You are on the air with Betsy Lewis.
Hello. How you doing? It's an honor to be called a friend. The Betsy. I was listening to you, and I haven't read your book yet, and any of your books yet. However, to kind of get a pretty good, healthy understanding where you're coming from on some of the issues that are happening around the Earth. And I was just wondering, considering all the things that are going negative around the planet, and in terms of what humanity is doing to it and have been doing to it, and not really seeing too much human remedial things going on. What do you see, as an intuitive, what do you see as the outcome for humanity with what's going on with the changes on Earth and relative to the sun and what we've been doing to it? Do you see a positive or a negative outcome?
I see a very positive. And that's a great question. It really is. Where are we headed? But I visualize a world where we don't need all this technology, that we live in harmony with Earth. And maybe it will take 100 years. Maybe it'll take 200. Maybe we won't see it in our lifetime. But I believe that we incarnate, that we will be back, and people will learn to honor everything, which will be amazing. There'll just be this wonderful world. And, you know, it sounds new agey maybe, but I do visualize there's going to be a lot of earth changes. And I think these earth changes are going to help us all evolve. And it's our next step in evolution. I think we are going to change our form. I don't think we are going to look quite the same. And I think that the new children, and they're coming, and they're just the beginning of the things that we're going to see. We're going to be more telepathic, and we are going to have many more powers that we don't have today. We will be able to read each other's minds. And just think of that. If you could read somebody's mind, there wouldn't be any more lies, would there? How could you lie to somebody if you're telepathic, right?
Exactly. But that's good to hear you say that. I'm glad you have a positive outlook, considering everything that we've noted that's been going wrong. And I do, too, have a optimistic outlook. And
do you?
I do think I'm sorry?
You do, too? That's great.
Oh, absolutely.
What do
yeah.
you foresee?
Well, sure. Yeah.
What do you see happening?
Well, I think that in the wind-up, we will come through all the damage and everything that's happened that we've mm-hmm. kind of ignorantly done to the planet. I think that, you know, she's a big girl. She's going to be able to rectify those things. But as these different frequencies continue to increase and we get impacted by them, that we ourselves are going to change our way of being and our
mm-hmm.
relationship with our home, our planet.
Right.
And we're going to become more harmonious with it, as opposed to becoming, you know, being stuck in the ignorance that we've been led into for probably thousands of years. So
right.
I think that ultimately we'll prevail on the positive side as we transition and go through these changes. And I'm really excited about it. I don't know if I'll get to see the end of it. You know, hopefully I will, but
mm-hmm.
if not, I'll be back and get to experience it on another level.
That's
but,
right. You will.
And one of the other things that I was kind of surprised to hear you say was you thought that the Vatican would be forthcoming with some information about some of the astrological things that are going on. I think that's what you're referring to.
Right, right.
And,
you know, they.
Yeah, but,
go ahead.
But the reason I was kind of surprised because you know, I'm there's very little that's going to come from them that cause a problem. And in my estimation, I think that they are at the root cause of, probably 90% of the problems that are going on the planet. So don't look to
I
them
agree.
To really kind of get all grim.
I agree with you.
Okay,
100%.
Great.
100%. Yeah, I
get,
do. You know, what's really strange about the Vatican, they've made many, many remarks about aliens lately. There was Father Balducci, who has since passed away, and on May 13th, here we go again, May 13th, 2008, the Pope's chief astronomer at the time was Father Funes, and he said that intelligent beings created by God could exist in outer space. They've made many, many remarks, which is strange. And, of course, you probably have heard about that giant telescope they have near Tucson
mm-hmm.
called Lucifer.
You're right.
Lucifer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are they searching for out there? You know, a lot of people think that Planet X is out there. And, you know, could they be watching the sun? Are they watching Planet X? But it's all pretty top secret down there. So whatever is going on, they're pretty involved in something with outer space out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're they're on top of everything that's going on there. As a matter of fact, they're probably, in more ways than we know, involved with other civilizations that are not planetary. But anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate
your candor,
and you've been, been a very good guest.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Thanks so much, Ralph. Bye-bye.
A great caller. Now you've got some great people.
Oh, we have a wonderful audience.
And, sounds like it.
Ralph's been listening to us probably since the very beginning.
Yes.
Next, our switchboard host, Chris, has a comment for you. Hello, Chris.
Oh, great.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Chris.
I just want to say to the listeners that I read the book, and it's wonderful.
Thank you.
I couldn't put it down. And I have a couple of questions. And one is about, is it Lucia that got the, that had the prophecy?
Lucia? Lucia Santos?
Lucia.
Yes, Lucia.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she became a Carmelite nun. And
right.
So she was cloistered from society. Do you think that she did that voluntarily?
No, I don't. Absolutely not. No, I don't think so. I think that was forced on her. They didn't want her speaking about the events that she was shown. And they say that the one event is some kind of cataclysmic event that, you know, they don't want told to the world. For, you know, whatever reason, you know, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people would panic and everything, but, you know, what was that other event that the children were shown? And, you know, the lady foretold that the two younger children would die. She foretold the end of World War One. She foretold World War Two coming. She had seen. So are we talking about time travelers here? Are we talking about extraterrestrials that know our future? So it's, you know, there's just a lot of strange things that involved these appearances, this apparition that the children saw. But she would come in with boom. She'd always appear at solar noon. Isn't that strange? And there were orbs that were seen. Sometimes she would glide in on an orb. She'd always come in from the east. She'd always depart in the east. And some of the things that they were showing, and especially this event on October 13th, the last event, where 70,000 to 80,000 people saw what looked like the sun, you know, do this strange thing in the sky, and nobody else around the world noted anything, not an astronomer, no one noticed anything unusual about the sun that day. Only these people gathered for this event within a 14-mile radius, I believe it was, in Portugal. So what, you know, something was being told that day, something, and why did it end on October 13th? Are we being told that something's going to happen around October 13th?
Well, that leads me to my next question.
Oh, good.
in your book, I mean, and I think you said it again tonight, that you're looking at October 13th, 2013, as being something, is some stellar event is probably going to happen?
Yes,
I think so. That's your strong intuitive hit. Have you gotten any other information, you know?
Well, you know, I'm just feeling there is going to be a solar event. Now, how severe it is, I think that might have to do with us, because the children are always told to pray, that praying could change the outcome of the war. And I believe that with our prayers, that we can outchange the ferocity of the sun. I believe that, like I said, we are all connected to everything. We are all linked, and we can change events. So I think it depends on us. And, you know, look at what's going on in the world right now with, you know, the wars, the Afghanistan, you know, all the unrest, you know, Egypt. So do you think humanity would change overnight?
Well,
I don't think so, but go ahead.
I still think consciousness will win as long as people stay focused.
Right.
Right. So, okay, well, I'm just, so October 13th, that's not too far away, so.
It goes with what's going to happen with the sun, you know, the magnetic pole flip, which they're saying 3 to 4 months, and that would put it around that time. So I found that very interesting that NASA would say that.
Well, that's validating what you're saying, too. So. Okay. Well, I really appreciate having the chance to ask you these questions, and once again, thank you. I really was captivated by your book. So thank you so much.
I appreciate that. And I want to say to the audience that, you know, Indigenous people believe that we can dream a new world into being, and I believe that too. You know, our thoughts are things, and we've heard that over and over, you know, that we create our own reality, and I believe that time is fluid. You know, I get into timelines and what goes on. I think there are parallel worlds that exist next to ours. There's many worlds, and I think a lot of times those worlds kind of bleed into ours too. We get a lot of different things that have been seen, like chupacabras and, you know, just weird things that have been seen around the world. So, you know, we just don't understand our world, but I think it has many, many levels and many timelines. And I think the past is happening. I think the future is happening. But I think we can change all those things. I think we can even change the past if we wanted to. And I think there are time jumpers, what I call time jumpers, that are changing timelines. And have you ever had an event where you thought you could swear that someone died at a certain time, and just to learn that they died maybe just a few days ago, but you remember 10 years ago when they died? I do all the time.
So, you're jumping around in time. Wow. Okay, well, thank you very much, Betsy.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, in my readings and Lavendar's readings and the radio show and the work that we do, have kind of boiled it down to something that is so simple, because starseeds, a lot of, you know, they have different rites of passage and missions, things that they came here to do, but that is in addition to the primary reason, and that's just to carry as much light, to show as much grace, to give as much love in every day, just in your common, you know, you go to the grocery store, you know, do you smile at people, help the old lady across the street, just random acts of kindness in each starseed holding the highest frequency that they can throughout the day. That alone, when you multiply it by some 35, 40 million star seeds and counting, that really can tilt the balance. And we don't have to have 100% of 7 billion people agree. And many people think that if only 5% of the world is enough, if we, you know, unite, is enough to make a difference. So it's not really such a daunting task if everyone just practices a little more kindness, you know, slower to irritation and annoyance, try to, you know, exhibit the grace that you would want to be shown. Really kind of a simple formula.
It is.
Best person you can be. And try not to harbor ill thoughts or negative projections on others. And it can really
be. It is.
You know?
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard, I know. But
well,
you're right. You're so right. And just a smile, just helping someone, you know, if you see someone elderly and they need help, just take the time. You know, we're always in such a big rush, aren't we? We're just hurry.
Right.
Let's slow down a little bit.
You know, when you're driving, make space so that the guy can move over, or, you know, let pull out first. You know, just so many, hundreds of little things every day that you can do where you make a higher choice. You know, if someone steals your parking space just as you were about to turn into it, you know, does that ruin your whole day?
Mm-hmm. You know? That's right. That's right.
And all of us have seen pictures of the Earth from space, especially this picture called Earthrise. They took on the moon when the Earth was coming up over the horizon.
That gorgeous?
Yeah, when you picture the Earth from a distance like that and just see this beautiful blue marble in space, and then you think about the guy that just took your parking spot, it really helps you put things in perspective. Like, how much does that really matter?
I was going to say in my book, my new book that I'm working on, NASA astronaut Sandra Magnus in 2009 said, "Our planet is our spaceship. It looks very fragile from here, and it is very easy to take it for granted when we are living on it, when it seems so big and so massive, but it's not. It's very small and very fragile." Isn't that profound?
It is, you know, when you put things in a galactic perspective, it is a tiny planet, but it is capable. It is capable of such great transformation, which is how come there's so many races from other worlds that have, you know, bloodlines seeded on the planet, because this is a unique planet. And certainly, there's probably billions of other Earth-like planets, but in our neighborhood, it's really the gem and the prize, and they honor and respect the Earth, but they're not going to let us go out into space until we get our act together.
You're right. You are so right. That's why they're blocking us out there.
Well,
you know, I was just talking. Yeah, I was talking to Dr. Her name is Artie Sixkiller Clark, who has spent 20 years talking to Native Americans, and they talk about the star beings that have visited them. She has incredible stories in her book, and she said that one of the people that she talked to that had talked to one of these star beings said that there's four violent races in the universe, and guess where we stand? We're one of the four. They just don't want us out there until we get our act together.
Right. So we're like little kids that have been grounded. You can't leave your planet until you learn how to behave. The guest we had on last week, Craig Campobasso, is doing wonderful work in bringing the true story of an extraterrestrial being, an angelic being named Valiant Thor. Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
It's a story you're going to love. I won't spoil it for
you.
Really?
Okay.
If you listen to our broadcast next week. They bring a message of unconditional love and hope to the planet. And they are from Venus. They live inside the planet. And they have been since 1957.
Wow.
When he actually left the spaceship and was picked up by the police and taken to the Pentagon, where he lived for 3 years.
Wow, what a story.
I'm kind of spilling the beans here, but I can't help it.
Oh, it sounds great. I'll have to listen to that. Oh, that's great.
Totally angelic, amazing. And there's a book called Stranger at the Pentagon, which Craig has written a screenplay, and they're putting that out. And we're just really, really excited about that. So do check it out if anyone missed last week's show, because it really is a message of ultimate love and hope, and knowing that we have allies who, The big brothers that are on our side.
Sure. You know what I was thinking of? I've watched the movie several times, Avatar, and the message in Avatar is just so amazing. You know, that's the kind of world that I see as becoming, like these beautiful beings that live on Pandora, and how they are connected to nature and everything is honored. And that's what I see. And people, if you haven't seen the movie, rent it, you know, and watch it several times because it has an amazing message for all of us, you know, what we're doing to the earth, you know. And, of course, here are the military that come in and want to destroy it. Isn't that so true?
Well, of course. You know, yeah.
There's always the ones that want to destroy something. And that's our lesson here. You know, Edgar Casey said that many of us are from Atlantis. And, of course, Atlantis was destroyed, you know, due to their technology, according to Edgar Casey. So if we're back here, and here we are, we haven't learned our lesson yet about honoring Earth. And, you know, are we going to get it? I mean, I think we are. I think we're going to get it. And it may take some, you know, a little hand slapping here for us to get it. Maybe some kind of event to shake us up and make us awaken very quickly. I know there are so many people that are awakening now, and it's going to be the 100th monkey, you know, where we all awaken. And maybe we're all going to awaken at the same time. Maybe that, you know, all these people that have been abducted, maybe, you know, they say that they were given a message. Are we all going to awaken at the same time? There's millions of people, you know, at least 8 million people claim that they've been abducted by aliens in the United States alone. So I think we are.
Oh, completely. I completely agree. And we see evidence of that, you know, through our work with people talking about their awakening. And Lavendar has told us the stories from her journal that go back to August 20th of 1987.
Ah.
The August Harmonic Convergence.
Yeah,
and, there was, Lavendar, if you want to jump in here, feel free, but I can kind of sum it up. There was a planetary alignment, which was used by the Pleiadians and all their allies and all the benevolent races to beam an evolutionary frequency to the planet, which implanted codes of awakening and evolutionary climbing into the starseed bloodlines around the planet. And a lot of these have time-release effects. And so every August, which is coming up actually next week, between the 15th and the 20th, when the sun goes back to galactic degree in Leo, which is where it was when this event happened, there is an anniversary that happens, and many more alarms are going to go off, and people, whether it's through a revelation-type dream or a key person comes into your life that, you know, kind of flips your switch for you, many different ways that it can happen. But that's coming up next week. So everyone that's listening, pay attention to the things that might happen that could have galactic significance in your awakening. If you're already awake, you can look for upgrades, expanded consciousness, profound realizations, alliances with other starseeds, all kinds of things, and it's always up spiral, always up. So another good thing that's coming.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you were mentioning the Harmonic Convergence in 1987, and I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Jose Arguelles, who organized that event. And that's without the Internet. It went global. It went viral without the Internet.
Uh-huh.
And he was just an amazing man. He passed away in 2011, but I interviewed him on 2009, I believe it was. And he's just amazing. And he talked about us all coming together, that, you know, we've been so disjointed and you know, we were just afraid to come together as one. And he said, we have to build that bridge. And, you know, we have to come together to create this new world. Oh, what an amazing man. I wish he was still alive. But
he is in another dimension.
Yes.
Yeah.
He really is. But he was a visionary, and he, you know, he started Earth Day, and he talked about the Rainbow Bridge, and, you know, rainbows to me are amazing. I had a rainbow vision, and I think the rainbow vision is about the new world that is coming, and, you know, I'm optimistic, and I'm going to stay that way, that things are going to change for the better.
Well, I have to totally concur with that. So, Lavendar, do you have anything that you want to add here before we wrap it up?
Only that this August 20th is really going to be, I think, a pretty huge upgrade. The moon's going to be full at 28 Aquarius. So that means it goes through that 25, 26, 27 degrees just before it gets full on the 20th. And I think there's going to be some major activation in bloodlines all over the planet at that time. I'm really looking for that to happen. Like things, the implants will be upgraded. I think people will have a better sense of their knowingness. I think some belief systems will drop by the wayside because they're just not valid anymore. It's like somebody comes along and, you know, takes all the chess pieces and throws them off the board and realigns them after August 20th. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly a lot of Atlantean remembrance may occur, remembering the lessons of the proper use of power, whether it's technology or crystals or political power. There'll be a lot of Atlantean awakenings with that combination with the moon. I mean, with the sun at 26, 27 Leo and the moon coming up through the opposite of Aquarius in galactic degree. Yeah, we should really pay attention, everybody. Pay attention. So, Betsy, you do have your own radio show. When you want to tell people how they can find that?
Yes, I have a show that I've been doing since 2009 called Rainbow Vision, and it's blogtalkradio.com/rainbowvision, and I have that usually every Wednesday. I haven't been doing it this month. I've kind of taken it off to do some writing, and I've been on some other interviews. But September, I've got a full line of guests coming up on every Wednesday, so be sure and check that out. And my website, I have that information on my events calendar. And also I've got my Earth News One blog, which I put everything that's going on in the world pretty much. I mean, as far as Earth changes and the sun and volcanic activity, earthquake activity, I keep up on all that. And I add my predictions. My predictions are also on my website, which is BetsyLewis.com. And Betsy is spelled a little bit different. It's BetsyLewis.
Right.
And I just want to add one little thing, if you don't mind. You know, go out there and get in nature. Get back to nature. Take off your shoes and walk on the sand, walk on the grass. Just feel Mother Earth's heartbeat. You will feel it. And, you know, she warns us about events. You know, with all these things going on with the earth, you know, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, you know, there's warnings if we just listen and watch. The birds tell us, the animals, even our pets tell us, you know, about things. So listen to those things. And even dreams. Many people have dreams. Trust your intuition out there, because we're going to need it in these times. We've got a lot of things coming up in this world, and a lot of changes, so get ready, everybody.
Right. Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because you made me remember something that I wanted to say. And the key word for this time is balance. And taking that to a very personal level, I've been doing this since January 1st, and it has really had a lot of unexpected benefits for myself personally. And, yes, I mean, balance, emotional balance, spiritual balance, all those kind of esoteric kind of balancing things. But get really physical with it. Just see how long you can stand on one foot and hold your balance. It really, it brings a strength to your core. And when you can just kind of relax and stay completely balanced, just holding one foot off the ground in whatever position in front of you, behind you, to the side, or just up off the ground, it continually trains your body to stay balanced. And when you are balanced, you are more in tune with nature. And then all the other esoteric balances come in with, you know, spirituality and your the way your brain is working and everything. But it really can be triggered by physically standing on one foot. It's working for me anyway.
Is it? That's great.
I mean, it's amazing. You feel it strengthens your core and brings a sense of balance to you physically. And you know, sometimes it goes from the mental to the physical, or from the emotional to the physical, but it can also go the other way, from the physical to the emotional. So if you can't find emotional balance, you know, in your brain, in your heart, or whatever kind of imbalance you're dealing with, try just physically standing on one foot and see if it doesn't go the other way then. That physical balance could then help you find the other balances that you're having maybe a little challenge with. But it's working for me. That's all I can say. Give it a try.
Well, thank you so much. I want to say that you've got a great show, and you're bringing so much light to everyone and so much knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and I commend you for that. That's wonderful what you're doing, and you're just helping others to awaken out there, and we need so many more people out there like that, so it's great.
Well, that is, you know, we empower people to go out and do the same thing. Just like the extraterrestrials are empowering us to become more like them, to be, you know, because they are so spiritually advanced. So, you know, as above, so below, we do that for each other. And thank you so much. Yes, we do have a wonderful audience and people that are becoming more and more aware of Lavendar's work. And Lavendar spent her entire lifetime and gone through all kinds of trials, tribulations, and personal sacrifices to bring this information and to protect it, and now is the time for people to put it into action. So, and thank you for the work that you're doing
in the understanding
that you bring through your books, through your radio show, and through your blog and your working with others. So we all have a little piece of the puzzle, and it's just always a pleasure to have a person of like mind come on the show and share themselves so freely as you have done.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It was my pleasure, and what an honor to be on your show again. So thank you, everyone, and blessings to all of you.
Well, thank you so much, and keep in touch, and let us know when your next book comes out.
Oh, I sure will. Thank you so much. Have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you so much, Betsy Lewis of BetsyLewis.com. We want to thank everyone on behalf of Starseed Radio Academy for joining us this evening. We will be back next week, same time. And have a great time watching those meteor showers. And don't forget the anniversary of August Harmonic Convergence coming up on the through the 15th through the 20th. So thanks, everybody. Thanks so much. Good night. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.